This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. We are just a few weeks away from the most blessed and important month of the year, the month of Ramadan. And it's very easy for us to forget how important and blessed and necessary this month is. We get caught up with our work, our families, our daily chores and stresses in life. And because of this, many of us, Ramadan will come upon us without us even realizing where the time went. So it's important that we begin preparing for Ramadan a few weeks, if not a few months before. It's too late for a few months before, but we can a few weeks before. That we get ourselves into the right mindset for this blessed month. Because no doubt that Ramadan is the most important month of the year for the believer. And none of us can guarantee that we will be around for this Ramadan, leave around the next. We ask Allah to allow us to reach this Ramadan and benefit from it. But all of us know people and loved ones who were with us last Ramadan and are not with us this Ramadan. And we ask Allah to grant them Jannah, we ask Allah to accept their deeds, and we ask Allah to allow us to reach Ramadan and to benefit from it. We should not take this for granted. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His blessings upon us. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us believers, for granting us the iman, for granting us taqwa, for granting us the understanding of this religion, for granting us peace and safety and security, and allowing us to grow and to allowing us to develop as a community. And it is important for us that we thank Allah and that we understand what Ramadan is about, why Ramadan is important, and what should be our goals for Ramadan. We are all familiar with the verse. Everyone knows this verse. We hear it every year. The verse that, O you who believe, Ramadan fasting has been prescribed for you, like how it was prescribed for those before you, so that you can gain taqwa. We all know this verse, but have we internalized it? Have we turned it into a life goal? Have we turned it into our vision for Ramadan? That this Ramadan, I'm going to increase my taqwa. This Ramadan, I'm going to become a better Muslim. One of the big mistakes we make is that we treat Ramadan like a chore. We treat it like a cultural practice. We treat it like something to get out of the way. We stay focused on our business. We stay focused on everything else. And the fasting and the taraweeh just becomes like something to get done. And when we do that, we don't experience the benefits of Ramadan. The benefits of Ramadan is to increase our taqwa. You see, taqwa, which is the Arabic word for God consciousness or piety, is something that fluctuates. It's something that none of us can reach a level of perfection in. Like perfection in taqwa was reserved for the prophets. We can't reach perfection in taqwa. Our taqwa is always fluctuating. And we all have struggles. We all have sins. We all have bad habits. And Ramadan is a time to try and change this. Ramadan is a time to try and break some of these bad habits. It's a time to try and build some good habits. Because our taqwa is not something that is set in stone. It's not that you become a Muslim and you are continuously pious. No, we all have ways that we can improve. And everyone's weakness is different. Some people find it hard to lower their gaze. Some people find it hard to dress according to the Sharia. Some people find it difficult to control their tongue. They keep falling into slander and backbiting. Some people find it difficult to wake up for Salatul Fajr. In all these cases, we ask Allah to forgive us and to grant us hidayat and strength and to grant us righteousness. But we have to work on it. And we have to realize our weaknesses. So one of the things we can do is to look at the upcoming Ramadan as an opportunity for growth, as an opportunity to take our iman to the next level, to find one or two areas in our life where we know we are lacking, and to make this Ramadan a means of changing that. And yes, sometimes the change might not be permanent. Perhaps, for example, you use Ramadan as a chance to start praying Salatul Fajr on time. And you start praying Salatul Fajr on time, and it lasts 6 months, 8 months, and then you start slipping, and next Ramadan you try again. The point is to keep trying. The point is to keep trying. Don't ever give up on trying to be a better Muslim. Because we are all going to slip. Every Muslim, every human being makes mistakes. Every human being has their sins and their weaknesses. But we have to keep trying, and we have to keep aiming to go further and higher and better. So our taqwa, what is taqwa? Developing taqwa or piety or God consciousness is not just a Ramadan goal. It is the life goal of the believer. This is the life goal of the believer. That we spend our entire lives trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That with each passing day, month and year, we should be closer to Allah than the year before that. We should be more righteous than the year before that. That as the years go by, we can see a change in ourselves. That we are closer to Allah and more conscious of Allah today than we were last year or 5 years ago. This is what taqwa should be. It should be a life goal. Are we living our lives in a way that we are pursuing the goal of taqwa? On a daily basis, the minimum we need to do to at least maintain a basic level of taqwa is to pray the 5 daily salah. We can build upon that by reciting Quran, by praying the sunnah salah, by giving charity, by doing other types of good deeds. But Allah gave us Ramadan because Allah knows we are weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we need that iman boost. We need that iman rush. We need that month that pushes us to be our best. And so we have 29 days every year. That's like a marathon session where we discover higher levels of spirituality within ourselves. We discover within ourselves the capabilities of doing good deeds that we didn't think we are capable of. Think about it. How many of us, the entire year, we say, I'm going to wake up for tahajjud, but we don't end up waking up for Salatul Fajr? How many of us that happens? And then suddenly Ramadan comes, not only are we praying Salatul Fajr on time, but we're praying tahajjud every night as well. Now, that's something we don't think we're capable of. How many people complain that they can't lower their gaze? You know, they're addicted to looking at things they shouldn't be looking at. Yet sometimes when they push themselves, the entire month of Ramadan goes and they're able to lower their gaze. Ramadan is a time for self-discovery, for discovering that you are capable of higher levels of piety, higher levels of iman, higher levels of self-control. That's when you realize that you have within you the ability to be better. And we need to take that and apply it to the rest of the year. So we have 3 weeks until Ramadan. What we can do in these 3 weeks is to start preparing spiritually for Ramadan. Number one, by keeping in mind that increasing our taqwa is the goal. What are we doing to increase our taqwa? Number two, to start getting into the habit of fasting. Maybe by eating less or doing some of the sunnah fasts, but to get into the habit of fasting so that when Ramadan comes, it's not a strange and new experience fast. It's something our bodies are accustomed to. Because what happens to many of us is, we only fast in Ramadan. And then when Ramadan comes around, we complain, I'm too tired to work, I don't have any energy, I'm moody. It's because you're not accustomed to fasting. But if we start now, if we start with some sunnah fast, or at least, eating less or eating less meals in the day now, Ramadan will be easy, inshallah. Right? The fasting aspect will be easy. You'll have more energy for ibadat, you'll have more energy for work, and it won't affect your mood swings. The mood swings are coming because we're not accustomed to fasting. Instead, we are accustomed to just eating all day long, which is not a habit that believers should have anyway. It is not the sunnah. It is not the sunnah to overeat. It's the opposite of the sunnah. The sunnah is to eat healthily, to live a healthy lifestyle, that you eat enough to stay fit and alive and energetic. That is the sunnah. And for many of us, not only do we avoid that sunnah all year round, But it's even worse in Ramadan. For many of us, we eat more in Ramadan than outside of Ramadan. And this is a problem. Because we don't get the spiritual benefits of fasting if we are overeating for sehri and for iftar. You're not going to get the spiritual benefits if you are overeating. So let's start cutting down on how much we eat so that when Ramadan comes, our bodies are accustomed to it. Another way that you can prepare for Ramadan is to start reciting Quran. If you are not in the habit of reciting Quran every day, which should be a habit for every believer, but if you are not in that habit, then now is the time to start. Now is the time to start. Start reciting 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, so you get accustomed to the recitation of the Quran. So when Ramadan comes around, you are able to increase that and recite the Quran even more. Another way in which we can prepare for Ramadan is to start working on a list of habits that need to change. So maybe this Ramadan, inshallah, is the month when you start lowering your gaze. Maybe this Ramadan, inshallah, is the month when you start observing hijab. Maybe this Ramadan, inshallah, is the month when you finally start praying Salatul Fajr on time. Whatever it is, each of us know our own mistakes. Each of us know our own sins. Each of us know our own struggles. But Ramadan is the time where we can change that. Ramadan is an opportunity for change. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for development. When you look at the early Muslims and how they treated this month and compared to how we do, we see that for them, this was their favorite time of the year. This was the time of the year that they look forward to. And they never made the excuse that because it's Ramadan, you know, all productivity drops. Many of us do that, right? We say, because I'm fasting, I can't work. Because I'm fasting, I have to cut down on my work hours. Because I'm fasting, you know, I'm going to get lazy on the job. The Battle of Badr was fought in Ramadan. The Sahaba accomplished many, many amazing things in the month of Ramadan. It never got in the way of that. They didn't say, oh, Ramadan's coming, you know, let's, you know, just stay in our houses. No, they continued doing what they had to do. They continued living their lives. But on top of that, they fasted and they read Quran and they prayed the Taraweeh. So it wasn't one or the other. It's finding that balance. So to conclude, a reminder to us all that we are 3 weeks away from the most important month of the year. And nothing should distract us from the fact that Ramadan is the most important month of the year. It doesn't matter what's going on in our personal lives or the world, Ramadan should still be a priority. And preparing for Ramadan should still be a priority. And we all must make time for that. We also learned that Ramadan is a time for increasing our taqwa. And we said increasing our taqwa is not just a Ramadan goal, it's a life goal. Our entire lives should be a spiritual journey of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is there to accelerate the journey, to push it forward, to make it faster, to make us get there quicker. And how do we do that? We do that by fasting with purpose. We do that by reciting Quran. We do that by eating less. We do that by focusing on removing sins from our life in the month of Ramadan. If we do all of this, then inshallah, we will benefit from this month. Inshallah, we will leave Ramadan on a higher spiritual level than we entered it. And we are able to keep that high level or at least maintain a part of it for the rest of the year. And this is the goal of Ramadan. We ask Allah to make us from those who will reach Ramadan and benefit from it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds and forgive our sins. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربي إذا مسيفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به نتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان In Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the month of Ramadan. He says, شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan. It is very rare for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention a month by name in the Quran. This is very rare. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this month by name means it's a special month. And in this verse, there are so many benefits. There are so many lessons. And from the benefits of this verse, is we see that Ramadan is linked to the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَحْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. There are two interpretations to this verse. The first interpretation is that the first revelation, Iqra, happened in Ramadan. The second interpretation is that the revelation of the entire Qur'an from the highest heaven to the lowest heaven was in the month of Ramadan. And it's possible that both of these happened in the month of Ramadan. So the Qur'an came down in the month of Ramadan. It doesn't mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the entire Qur'an in the month of Ramadan, because we know he received it in pieces over 23 years. Right? But we're talking about the revelation to Angel Jibreel and also the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it doesn't just mention this to be the month of the Qur'an. It mentions why the Qur'an was sent down. And here we combine between three different verses in Surah Baqarah to get a beautiful tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. Because in this verse, Allah says that in the month of Ramadan, He sent down the Qur'an as guidance for mankind. Right? This is verse 185 of Surah Baqarah. Go right back to the beginning, verse 2 of Surah Baqarah. Right? This is Hudal lil Muttaqeen, guidance for those who have taqwa. Jump back again, verse 183 of Surah Baqarah. You are commanded to fast in the month of Ramadan, la'allakum tattaqun, so that you can gain taqwa. Now combine the three. The Quran was revealed to guide mankind, but that guidance will only reach the people of taqwa. To gain taqwa, you fast the month of Ramadan. You see, this is a circle of taqwa. You fast to increase your taqwa. Taqwa increases your understanding of the Quran. The Quran was revealed to be understood. You see, you put the three together and we understand the purpose of Ramadan. The month in which the Quran was revealed is the month for increasing your taqwa, because you need taqwa to understand the Quran. And so this Ramadan, let us all take the opportunity to connect with the Quran. Let us make the Quran central to Ramadan. Recite it as much as you can. Take the time to study the translation. Take the time to study the tafsir with a qualified teacher. Take the time to reflect on it. Memorize a bit of it if you can. Let the Quran, or let Ramadan be the month of the Quran. Let it be for you the month of the Quran. And we see even in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even in the practice of the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, Ramadan was the month of the Quran. Because every Ramadan, the angel Jibreel would recite the entire Quran, whatever had been revealed up to that point, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Ramadan. And in the last Ramadan of his life, he recited the entire Quran twice. The angel Jibreel. So reciting the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan is not just a sunnah of human beings. It's a sunnah of an angel. It's something the angels did as part of the preservation of the Quran. That the angel Jibreel alayhi salam recited the entire Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the month of Ramadan to help him to preserve it in his memory, to get the right order, and to make sure that it remains preserved. So we should take the time this Ramadan to connect to the Quran. Let us memorize it. Let us recite it daily. Let us understand it. Let us learn to live by it. This verse gives us even more details about Ramadan. There are so many beautiful lessons we can take from this verse. I'm just going to highlight two more lessons from verse 185 of Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in this verse to fast. Right? He says, whoever witnesses the month should fast. Man shahida minkum ash-shahr falyasum. Whoever witnesses the month should fast. Then he says, if you are sick or traveling, you can make it up later. And then Allah says in the same verse, because Allah wants ease for you, He does not want difficulty for you. Now from this, the scholars have extracted so many fiqh lessons and maxims and principles. We learn from this the how commands are worded in the Quran. Allah says, whoever witnesses the month should fast. This is how a command is worded in the Quran. Right? Or kutiba alaykum usiyam is also how commands are worded in the Quran. Then we see the concept of exceptions or ruksa. Right? Where Allah says, if you are sick or traveling, you can make it up later. And we know we have an entire section of fiqh of things you can do later if you are sick or traveling, or other kinds of concessions that happen if you are sick or traveling. Now, why traveling? A lot of people ask, why traveling? And for many of us, you know, sitting in an air-conditioned business class airplane, you know, we wonder, why are there concessions for traveling? Understand that for the bulk of human history, traveling was the hardest thing to do. Now, if you were going from South Africa to Makkah 500 years ago, you're probably not making it back. Right, let's just put it that way. That's how difficult it was to travel. You know, the highway robbers, you know, the desert storms, you know, going to new countries where you don't know anyone, there's no means of communication. Traveling was difficult. And so Allah made concessions for the traveler. But the beauty of our religion is, even now when traveling is a bit easier, the concessions remain. Because Allah built it into the religion for us. So we still can follow these concessions when we are traveling. Because traveling is not 100% easy today. Right? Anyone who's been stuck in an airport for 48 hours knows that. Right? The traveling still has its difficulties and its hardships. And that's why there are concessions for the traveler. The concessions for the sick person, we all can understand that. And then we get the maxim of fiqh. And this is why verse 185 of Surah Baqarah is one of my favorite verses in the Quran. Because Allah doesn't just give us a command and an exception, He gives us the why. Right? In the previous verse, verse 183, He gives us why we should fast, which is to increase our taqwa. In the next verse, 185, He gives us why He has exceptions to this rule. Why does He have exceptions to this rule? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Because Allah wants things to be easy for you. He does not want things to be hard for you. From here we get the maxims of fiqh. Many maxims of fiqh. Number one, that the religion is easy. Imam Bukhari in his Sahih al-Bukhari has a chapter called The Chapter of the Religion Being Easy. The Chapter of the Religion Being Easy. And in this chapter he has a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ in which the Prophet ﷺ said that this religion is easy and the extremists make it difficult on themselves. The extremists will make it difficult on themselves. So the nature of this religion, according to the scholars of fiqh, is it's meant to be practical. It's meant to be something that anyone can practice. It's not meant to be so difficult that only a tiny group of people are able to follow it. That is human error to make Islam like that. Allah wants things to be easy for you. He doesn't want things to be difficult for you. Another lesson we get from this verse, another maxim we get from this verse, is that when life gets difficult, the Sharia gets easier. When life gets difficult, the Sharia gets easier. And we saw this in action when we started with the social distancing in the masjid. But when life gets easier, the Sharia gets more difficult. So when, you know, things get easier in our life, the Sharia goes back to normal. So Allah did not reveal the Sharia to make life difficult for us. Fasting in Ramadan is not about making life difficult for us. Praying Taraweeh is not about making life difficult for us. It's there to make life easy for us. To make reaching higher levels of spirituality easy for us. To make self-control and becoming better versions of ourselves easy for us. And when things get too difficult, when you are sick, when you have chronic illness, when you are traveling and, you know, unable to keep your fast, then the concessions come in. And this is part of the beauty of the Sharia. And this is part of the beauty of our religion. So we ask Allah to help us to reach Ramadan and to make it a means of spirituality and growth for us and to forgive us for all of our sins. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbana la tu'akhizna in nasina wa akhtana. Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bi wa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna anta mawlana fansurna ala qawmil kafirin. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqimis salam.